FA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up. Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening. You want to send us an email? The address is comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Today's May 1st. I'm Tim with Ed, and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us. Good morning.
Mayday.
Got the Paisley, rocking the Paisley today.
The Madagascar Day. By the way, Tim,
yes, sir.
I got to congratulate you, and although I don't think your wife knows this, you were prominently attending the Extraordinary Women Conference up in Memphis this weekend.
I didn't go.
You did. You were seen there.
Oh yeah, I did a video.
That's right.
I couldn't go. I wanted to go. They had the Extraordinary Women Conference in South Haven, and we helped promote that. So went.
My wife went.
And, oh, she saw
She's
my video.
She's an extraordinary woman. I'm not.
Well, I asked.
We don't know anymore.
I asked my friend Tim Clinton, who's
he was there.
He was one of the he's the top guy there at the. For promoting those conferences, he and his wife. So, but I said, if everybody's an extraordinary woman,
then nobody is.
Is nobody average?
Oh, so it's the
conference is called Extraordinary Women, and they have conferences all over the country, and they had one in South Haven, and Steve's wife went, and she saw. I did a video there promoting our.
You didn't say that in the video, did you? If every woman's extraordinary, then
I didn't say welcome all you extraordinary and average women to this conference.
But that would have been funny,
right? And for you few that are below average, you're welcome here too. No, I didn't say that. All right, Steve.
All right. So, breaking news on what's going on between the DeSantis camp and Disney. So you may know that last week. Disney sued DeSantis because DeSantis took away that
and Florida, right?
Because they took away that governing district where they had their own government going, and they were able to levy their own taxes, and it basically was a big sweetheart deal when they first got there in the 60s or 70s. Now, the DeSantis team, his Central Florida Tourism Oversight District Board, has countersued. They say, we're not going to let this go. We're going to fight. So there's a fight now, legally, in Florida over who's going to control Disney. I am making a commitment to boycott Disney. And I kind of did this when they started going woke. I just found out today why it's going to be really easy for me to boycott Disney. This is how easy it's going to be for me to boycott Disney. Cut 11.
So here's how much we spent at Disney day 2 of 5. A mediocre breakfast at Hollywood and Vine cost us $223. Then we headed over to Toy Story Land, and even with Lightning Lane, we still only got to ride one ride. Ice cream was $25 and popcorn was $16. Then over at Galaxy's Edge, 3 lightsabers cost us a whopping $800. Every ride had 120-minute wait time, so we only got to ride one ride in this section of the park as well. We tried the infamous blue and green milk and had lunch at Backlot and funnel cakes at Epic Eats. Photo Pass was an extra $170 for cell phone quality pictures. And finally, we had dinner at Planet Hollywood. Factoring in our nightly hotel rate of $997 brings our total to $3,758 for the day.
For one day out of 5.
Day?
One day
and one night.
Well, how many people were in their party would be my question.
5.
Five.
2 adults and 3 kids.
Well, you know, another thing is you don't have to do that. Nobody twisted her arm.
Boycott. This is going to make it very easy for me to boycott because there's no way I'm going to be spending that. $870 for tickets. Headbands. You know the headbands with the Mickey Mouse ears?
Yeah.
$130 for
each?
No, for
the whole family.
$25 for ice cream, $16 for popcorn, $27 for milk. Lunch was $80. That dinner at Planet Hollywood, $311.
Yeah, but they did it on their own. I don't. What are we saying here? She paid out all this money voluntarily.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm not saying she's boycotting it. I'm saying I am.
Oh, okay.
He's talking about how expensive it is.
It is
to go to Disney.
Yeah. I don't know what.
Well, you don't have any kids either at home, right?
No, but even then, I can't afford.
I understand. It's very expensive.
$900 a night.
It's very expensive. My problem with Disney is not the money they charge. My point is their woke policies that they're promoting to children. Right. Back to your original story.
Yes.
The again, most people understand this, but it's getting lost in the criticisms against Governor DeSantis and the Florida legislature. And there is a legal question here that is legitimate that Disney poses to the governor, to the, and they're in court battling it out. But, you know, last year, Florida legislature signed a law, said we're not going to talk about sex with kids K through three in the state of Florida. We're not going to do it. That's off limits. Disney came back and others came back and said, that's the don't say gay law. That's what they framed it as. Disney says we're going to lobby and work to see that this law is repealed.
Yep.
And that ticked off the governor and the Florida legislature. After that, this is where it becomes legally murky right now. After that, Governor DeSantis and the Florida legislature basically said, fine then. They didn't say it like I'm saying it, but they said Disney has special privileges in the state of Florida that go back to the 70s, and they don't have to pay taxes like every other company does, and we're changing that. Disney comes back and says, you're punishing us for our free speech. That's where we are.
Yep.
And that's got to go to court to be litigated to find out who's right and who's wrong.
Meanwhile, I don't think Disney's going to be worried about attorney's fees.
No, how much they have a team of lawyers that this is all they do.
But Disney is suffering financially big time right now. Now, whether I'm sure they'll probably recover, but I'm just saying they've laid off thousands of people. And
their media is off very much.
And they've been promoting wokeness with their children's movies, and that's not going very well for them either.
At all.
So, all right, Steve.
Well, wokeness is not working out very well in many blue states. Actually, taxation is not working out that well in blue states. We have a study that is done every year by the IRS, and what they have found out is that wealthy people, and I'm assuming not as wealthy, but wealthy people are fleeing blue states like Illinois, New York, California, probably a lot because of the taxes. And they're going to states like Texas, Florida, Arizona, North Carolina. And we're starting to get some hard numbers on what it's costing these states. So the data, which is released every spring, showed that Illinois lost a net of 105,000 people in 2021. And it's going to cost the state in its tax base about $10.5 billion in adjusted
with grossing. With a B.
And New York is going to lose $24.5 billion, and California is losing $29 billion because people are leaving and they're going to states like Florida, which is going to gain $39 billion, and Texas, which is going to gain $10.9 billion, and so on. So my word to you is, if you know what's good for you, don't bring your politics with you, or else you'll be paying those bad taxes again.
Well, so this is not only that when it says a net loss, that means you take the number moving out and subtract from it the number moving into the state, and then that you have a net, either a gain or a net loss
of taxes.
But my understanding also is that a lot of the people leaving the states that you mentioned, New York, Illinois, and California, are business people or high earners, and they are taking their big tax bill with them.
Which is why these numbers are so high. These are high earners that are...
Meanwhile, you have states like these three that you mentioned, deep blue states, New York, Illinois, California again, but you're having a lot of, for example, illegal immigrants moving in that are going to be a net drain on the system.
That's not included in this number.
And that's not included. Yes.
No. Yeah. And California, by the way, I've been hearing over the last year or so that California is floating in money. They had a budget surplus. That was all an illusion because it was all COVID money. And now that the COVID money is gone, California is in debt again.
I wonder if, now I just thought of this, so I'd have to do a little reading. You know, it took a long time for President Biden to say the COVID emergency is over. Mm. I wonder if that was because, in other words, extending that COVID emergency well past its due date, its expiration date, should have.
Right.
I wonder if that was to keep federal dollars flowing to some of these big states like California, where they could replace the money in their coffers that are going out.
I wouldn't doubt it. I did hear over the weekend that they, for as much as they've given up on the COVID emergency, they are keeping in place the requirement for vaccines for people coming in the country.
Yeah, Biden did that.
Which means that
Biden said you got to have a COVID vaccine shot to enter America.
Even though they do nothing for you.
Well, the pandemic's over.
Right.
What this is only, this is the power that Biden wants to yield over people. Now, he doesn't require the COVID vaccine for the millions of people who are coming over our southern border.
No.
They're free to go anywhere they want to. He'll take them anywhere they want to. No vaccine required. But you come here legally with a passport into Atlanta Airport or JFK or LAX or whatever, then you got to show proof of vaccination. Right. Now, that's not for U.S. citizens. That's for people who are non-citizens visiting our country.
Okay.
But it's just ridiculous. I mean, and not necessary. They just wanting to, they're just wanting to wield their power.
And while we're on the topic, we might, I just mentioned the fact that the Biden administration is still wanting to team up with the WHO to give sovereignty as some
World
saying,
Health Organization.
World Health Organization. To give what Michelle Bachmann is calling sovereignty of the United States over to the WHO, which means the WHO can declare a pandemic. And then, according to this, what they're not calling a treaty, so the Senate doesn't have to vote on it with this accord, the WHO will be able to determine if our churches are going to be shut down or if our businesses.
No, that's not going to work. I'm not saying it's not a threat. I'm just saying that's not going
to
work.
I wouldn't think so, but Biden is trying to get it there, according to this. Well,
Governor DeSantis or Republican governors would just, probably some Democrat governors would just say that WHO does not rule over our state.
Yeah, right.
I don't care what Biden says. That seemed to me it would have to be some kind of a treaty.
Which would have to be.
It's got to have more than just Biden saying, we'll go by whatever the WHO says. I know there's more to the story than that, but I'm just saying there would be a big resistance among the American people to having some worldwide health agency dictate to people in this country how they respond to a pandemic. That's my view.
What it could do, though, is the same thing that our being part of the Paris Climate Treaty, which goes, if Democrats were in, Republicans were out.
Yeah.
And when Democrats are in, all their policies now have global warming built in.
Take their guidance from the Paris Accords.
From the, yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's probably already happening during COVID. I mean, wasn't World Health Organization working with the CDC? And
yes, they were.
Okay.
But they were doing it. They were recommending, and then the government, whether state or local or federal, was taking those recommendations. According to this, the Biden administration or any American administration will not have a say in whether or not these mandates are put in place. Just what I bring it up because a lot of our listeners have been concerned about this.
Let me say this. I am, however it plays out in the near term, in the long term, I am always concerned when U.S. politicians, and this is primarily on the left, but especially in the Biden administration, seem to bend over backwards to want to push us towards that global governance.
Right.
And that's in their head.
Right.
That's what they
want. Right.
They want to see us go that direction. So elections have consequences. I'll leave it there. And I've
well, you'll I've leave it there for the next minute or so.
I'll leave it there.
Yeah, you leave it there. Go ahead, Steve.
All right.
Ed's leaving it there.
I'm leaving it there.
Well, then I won't pick it up. Let's talk about Minnesota. There's a bill going through Minnesota they're considering that will, in terms that we can understand, will make it a thought crime, an actual crime. If you are discovered or suspected of having some opinions that are not kosher with the government, they're going to put you on a list. That includes opinions about COVID, included in opinions about trans.
Now, wait a second. It's going to make it a crime? I thought they just put your name on a list.
They put your name. I'm sorry. Thank you. They put your name on. They're keeping track. If it's not even what I meant to say is even if it's not criminal, it doesn't rise to the level of a hate crime or hate speech. Not that that's criminal, but this is just going to be, and they're encouraging neighbors and friends to, if you hear somebody saying, hey, COVID wasn't that bad, masks don't work, you know, there's only two genders, report them, and you could put it on a government list.
And those are the two examples that were used,
yeah,
I think, in hearings about this or in interviews about this proposed Minnesota law. The two examples that were used was misinformation about COVID, or was it climate change? I think it was COVID. And then there's only two genders. That gets you on this list. And then the question is, what does the government, the state government, do with the list?
Has that been passed?
No. Okay. It has not, but they're considering
it. So what does the government do with the list? The question would be, does that mean if you're on this list, you don't get government contracts? Does this mean if you're on this list, you are put under suspicion? You can't get a job as a teacher?
The Democrat Party used to be steadfast in their objections to something like this on the grounds of civil liberties.
Right.
The ACLU, for example, that's how they were, you know, a lot of their actions were to oppose state authoritarianism, especially gathering names, for goodness sakes, like, and yet now in much of today's Democrat Party has been taken over with people who want to round up names and punish people and cancel people. And in fact, there's somewhat of a civil war going on inside the Democrat Party about this whole issue. You hear Elon Musk speaking out against government control. Elon Musk is not a Democrat necessarily. He's although I think he voted for Clinton. I think he's in Biden. I think he's more of a libertarian, a classic liberal. Bill Maher, same thing. There are a growing number of Democrats who are saying, "Whoa, wait just a minute. You know, we don't need to be going down this road," but they're in the minority now. The woke crowd has captured, as we see with the Biden administration, has captured the Democrat Party.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but anyway, so we'll see whether that becomes law. And even if it does, it may be ruled unconstitutional. It should be.
I would have to think it would.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But the fact that they're trying to do this, the left is trying to round up names of people who speak out or don't agree with their
narrative
is concerning. Next story.
Okay, a couple of the, if I could add from my world, the people that are maybe liberal or Democrats that are reasonable or still clinging to the old.
There's
time.
Three of them.
Well, we've got, there's a whole bunch of reporters who are also, I'm thinking of the Michael Schellenbergers and Matt Taibbi who are doing the Twitter files. And there's others that have decided.
Those names aren't household names, but within the journalism community, they are very well
Glenn
known.
Glenn Greenwald.
Right?
These are people that are not conservative by any means.
Right. Right.
But they will report accurately and they will, they're not afraid to report on Democrats unfavorably.
They think conservatives have the right to be heard. They're yes. Liberal, but they think they're liberal journalists, and I know who they are.
Yeah,
and they're very well known inside the journalistic community. But they believed that conservatives have a right to be heard on debate and argument, whereas many on the left believe no, they don't.
Well, one of these has put out Twitter Files 21. Twitter Files, as you may remember, are Elon Musk, when he took over Twitter, opened up the books and all the internal documents and allowed some reporters to go in and report on what they found without his editorial involvement at all. And this is where we found out the collusion between the government and social media on censorship of all kinds of stuff. Well, now they're talking, this one is talking about Russian influence and the Russian interference in the 2016 election. After this, the Senate Intel Committee asked Twitter to identify accounts from Russian international research agencies. In other words, Russian interference. But the problem was, they couldn't find many of them. According to Mark Warner, Democrat, he said the numbers were inadequate. He wanted more. And so they started a project called Project Osprey, where they widened the net just to make sure that they found enough Russian interference to back their claims, to be with their narrative. And so the short of it is, the demand for Russian interference far exceeded the reply.
Yeah,
the
so they just changed the definition so they can get more numbers.
Yeah. More numbers, because they've been saying Russian interference in 2016
but
forever
they couldn't
and
prove
ever.
It.
No, but you I'm can shocked. If you change the definition.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Yeah, aren't you?
Hey, is it true, are you done with that story, by
yeah,
the way?
Yeah.
Okay. That this is fascinating to me. We're talking about the intersection of the media and the Democratic Party and so on and so forth.
Uh-huh.
That Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who mm-hmm. has announced that he is running for the Democratic Party's nomination,
yes.
he was interviewed by ABC over the weekend.
Yes.
And, of course, now RFK Jr. is well known for his anti-vaccine stand.
Mm-hmm.
Has brought tremendous pressure on him from the left and from other people, whatever. But his comments on ABC in this interview were edited. His comments about the vaccines and the safety of vaccines were edited out.
Yeah. I mean, it's not.
That's extraordinary.
It's deceptive. And it's not surprising. We've seen mainstream media outlets do this before with conservative,
yeah.
where they doctor the tape to make them look stupid or whatever. But in this case, all the stuff that he said about vaccines. Now, he's not just a COVID vaccine
right.
Opposition. He doesn't think he's not in favor of any vaccine for any reason. I don't.
He believes in, I think, the link between vaccines and autism.
Right.
And all
exactly.
That
exactly. And so, but they decided because it didn't go with the narrative that they were just going to cut out that part of the interview. What they did cut out, which is interesting, but which also doesn't is counter narrative, is that he said that he opposes biological males competing in women's sports.
Yes,
as a Democrat. Although a rebel Democrat, I guess.
Yeah, and I noticed a story on Fox. I'm trying to find it quickly about a man competing as a woman won a cycling
yeah.
race against women. There it is. Trans cyclist picks up overall victory in women's category in the Tour of the Gila. I guess that's like the Gila Monster, Gila River, that kind of thing.
It's out by my house.
The Gila?
Yeah, that's where they race that.
This is in New Mexico, I think.
I saw them out there Saturday afternoon.
Huh? It's in New Mexico.
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah.
You see that Gila River, huge woman cyclist out front there?
Yeah. Well, women are going to have to stop this. They're going to
right?
speak up, quit participating in these kind of crazy events that men are also allowed to speak. Hey, on this day in history,
yes.
May 1st, 1931, the Empire State Building opened.
Really? 1931?
Yep. 1931, so we are...
8 years away
from
the 100-year anniversary.
You've been to you ever been there?
No.
Empire State Building?
No.
Yes,
you?
I have.
I've been there three times.
I have indeed. And it's
you
a
have
long
to?
Way up, yes.
You have to, Steve?
I
yeah.
have as well. You know, that's on Fox, that story. The picture they have of that iron worker sitting up, they were walking on those iron bars without any restraints, like... hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet in the air.
Yeah. May 1, 1931, the Empire State Building opened in New York City.
For a long time, the tallest building in the world.
Yes. All right. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow.